This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Website is ryansickler.com. Please go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/rsickler. Video for Honeydew will begin there June 1st, so make sure you're subscribed. That's the only change. It's just going over there to watch the video. Everything else will stay the same. You still get the audio on Mondays, video on Tuesdays, all right? Sign up for my email list. And make sure you're following me on Facebook as well. YouTube, I put up a brand new clip called Weed Versus Alcohol from a show I did at Denver Comedy Works. It was one of the best clubs in the country right before this fucking crazy-ass pandemic hit. So go up there, watch it, share it, get on Facebook, like it, all that shit. It's a fun little 10-minute clip. Step away, take a shit. You deserve a laugh. Watch me. Get away. You deserve it. Jesus Christ. Help yourself. All right. It's 10 minutes. Laugh a little bit. And I can't thank you enough, Night Pants Nation. You guys are buying shit. These guys are texting me like, fucking Night Pants, man. And I love it. I love it. Keep sending me the pictures. I'll post you up on IG story, whatever. We'll tweet them out. I appreciate you guys supporting me during this time. RyanSickler.com merch store, TheHoneydew.com, HoneydewPodcast.com is the website here. And the Patreon is going to start soon, so keep sending the emails in. You can email me at HoneydewPodcast@gmail.com. I want to read your stories. Hopefully we'll get you on a show. And if you are new to the show, what we do over here is we highlight the lowlights, and these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, returning back to The Honeydew during the pandemic, the main mommy. Ladies and gentlemen, Christina Pajitsky, everybody.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and seeing you. I forgot there was a pandemic. I went to hug you because I was so happy. Yeah. I'm just so happy to see you. And the world is a strange place. I've noticed that people haven't seen women. And
you were telling me the gas stations.
I went to the gas station and all the guys were like, what's up, girl?
Sick, licking her.
Yeah. I'm like, I usually don't get this much attention.
Listen, I am guilty of it too. I'm smiling at every chick underneath my goddamn mask. They can't tell. They're like, is he Asian? I'm like, nah, I'm just smiling at you, girl.
Yeah. It's like the spring after the long winter.
I kind of like seeing like, you know, a mouth can really fuck things up. You know what I mean? Yeah. A missing tooth or a gold cap can really, I don't know. I still kind of like the gold cap. I'm old school. But it can, a silver one back there, look like you chewed on a robot or something, you know? But a mouth covered and eyes, oh man.
So seductive.
I've always liked when a woman has talked to me with her eyes. It's always
really?
Been, yeah, I'd rather hear that than that grating, like, you're an asshole. You know what I mean? Say that to me with your eyes. Say you're an asshole with your eyes. I'm like, I know what you're saying. I'm out of here.
Now, do you think, how do you feel when you see a person walking around with the face mask and the latex gloves? Just walking. Like, just
no,
like.
I look.
That's crazy.
Grocery store or store, I get it.
Totally.
I've had to go into CVS to get a prescription and people are filthy.
That to me is filthy. Ground zero.
That
I
is
feel
scary.
Like CVS.
It's scary.
Is worse than the ER.
Yeah. I agree.
Prescriptions. I'm like, Tom, you go get them. I don't know why I think that's going to do anything.
But the whole time, the biggest thing that I've been concerned about more was if this really did shut down, shit down, and the truly crazy people couldn't get their crazy pills, then they're going to do some crazy shit. You know what I mean? That's where my concern has gone all through this. Like, let's make sure those people that need those pills go get those pills.
Well, my concern is they can't afford those pills. Mm-hmm. That's the biggie. But
whatever
anyway.
Reason you're not getting your crazy pills.
Oh,
let's take care of those people first.
I make sure my Lexapro is on point. I get my shit every day. I count them. I'm like, better call it in. Nah, need that shit.
I agree. I think people are getting fed up. And I think Texas and Georgia are crazy. However, Somebody's got to fucking do it. You know what I mean? If you got to, somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to do it. And if numbers go well there, then maybe we're out of this quicker. And if they don't, we know we're in this for a longer haul.
Listen, I watched a documentary on Netflix, which now makes me a medical expert on the
you're
coronavirus.
You're officially an expert. Yeah.
And what they noticed in the 1918 Spanish flu thing in Philadelphia is Philadelphia didn't quarantine until after this
Philadelphia.
Huge, Philadelphia. Until... And so after this parade, and what happened was there was a tremendous spike in the caseload of people, and then it disappeared. It literally flatlined.
Because they all flatlined? Or
well, they all died. Yeah, yeah, it was great. And then St. Louis was like, no, we'll quarantine. It was this long, drawn-out line that gradually... So I think we're going to see a spike of this first rush of dum-dums who are out there. Let them take the bullet, and then I go outside. I give it another few weeks. What do you think?
It's tough. I've been talking about this with a lot of people. Like, I feel like this four stages in California. Now I saw there was a fifth, but we're about to hit stage. What are we recording?
Two. We're going to do stage two tomorrow,
which is just trailheads open in like some state parks.
They shouldn't have closed in the first place.
I agree. That's a place you could social distance in a trail. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't want somebody right. If I ever get that asshole right behind me on a trail, I step to the side and let them go because I'm like, clearly. You're an asshole.
And how dedicated are these joggers with the face mask? Mm-hmm. You know how fucking hard it is to jog?
And gloves.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But anyway. if church is allowed, which they're saying it is, and I grew up Catholic, which I am not anymore, but if you're going to allow people to literally turn around and shake hands and say, peace be with you, really? If you're going to allow some pedo to put a cracker in my fucking mouth, if you're going to allow people... that have herpes all over their fucking lips to sip off a chalice and then dab it with a hometown buffet napkin, we should be able to be in the goddamn comedy store telling fucking jokes.
Amen.
Okay? That's
Amen.
What I think.
Praise Allah. Yes, praise Inshallah. You know what's so funny?
I miss stand-up. I miss it.
I'm
miss
dying.
Stand-up more than I miss socializing.
Same.
You know?
You know why, though? Because the comedy store was my socializing.
I'm you.
It was
I'm,
like, what's up, dude? Hey.
Yeah. I realized I am an antisocial person.
Yeah.
I don't mind having dinner by myself, but I like to be around people. I like to observe. Yeah. You can't do that. It's pick up and go. Like, I get inspiration from things in life and... Yeah, the comedy circuit, the world was my social life. Also, I'm not a huge drinker, and I've never been a club guy or, you know, I'm a bar once in a while, but 3, 4, 5 times a week or a weekend out around people drinking and having a good time, I feel like I've met my quota for that, so I don't need to be in those establishments on the weekend. I'd rather be with the kids and, home and hanging out. So I've always been, I guess, an antisocial person.
Yeah, this wasn't hard for Tom and I necessarily to quarantine because we have two small children.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah, bitch, I've been done in quarantine for the last 4 years.
It's called parenting. Yeah. Yeah, it's called fucking parenting.
Yeah, it's called having babies. Yes. Like, that's what it is. But to not be able to take them to the park or even to go to, like, the mall, which is what we normally do, is was tough. But I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I think this first wave of dum-dums will get sick, and then we'll get immune. I hope. I don't know.
Are you going to go back to stand-up before there's a vaccine? Would you go into a club of 500 before a vaccine?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to make audiences wear masks?
I don't know.
This whole spread, I see these clubs are opening, and I get it. I understand you have a business, but opening to 65% capacity or seating people 6 feet apart, but you're allowed to be four to take, like, listen, your sneeze, your cough, your laughter, your microscopic whatever, the waiter or waitress is going to walk right through that fucking cloud.
I know.
It's 6 feet's not going to do anything. Just fucking sit everybody together. Let us tell dick jokes. Get sick. Get over it. And get back to life.
And that's the thing is that we know who this affects really harshly. So we protect those.
I've canceled all my fucking senior citizen shows. All of them have been canceled. I'm off the circuit.
Fuck the cruise
ship. They took me off the circuit. Yeah.
We know
cruise
who this
ships.
Affects.
Would
we
you
know.
Get on? When would
never.
You get on a cruise?
Fuck a cruise ship.
Even with a vaccine, I never got on one
never
before.
Same.
Yeah, I've never been
ship.
On one. Yeah, no.
I'm like you. Were growing up with the Catholic stuff, and I remember the wine. And he next. And I was like,
and
this
is dab at your dab. And they're like, you didn't even wipe that, Cheryl. You didn't even wipe it.
That was so nasty. I was like, oh, I'm going to get herpes from somebody. You're right.
And who knows what the what's on the hands of that guy putting this fucking cracker in your mouth.
Touching his dick before he touches you.
Yeah, he could have and put it right on your tongue and shit. Yeah. And hey, let's greet each other by turning around and touching hands.
I know.
You know, like, then we should be able to tell fucking jokes.
I know. No, but I think, unfortunately, we do have to get sick. A lot of people have to get sick and then get over it, like you said. But there are people that have no symptoms, asymptomatic, hundreds.
Like, literally, the world could have it.
Yeah.
The world could have it and not even know you have it. Yes.
Anyways, I'm over it. I'm over it. I actually got depressed last week for the first time. I'm pretty resilient, and I was like, oh, okay, I think I'm depressed. I think I'm... I don't like this
I'm very anymore. Bummed out. Look, I know everybody's got their ideas of where this came from, whatever. I'm just bummed out that I busted my ass. And I know everybody's got their story, but I worked hard. Thank God I put a tiny bit of money away. I'm just pissed that I'm dipping into a savings as a single parent because some motherfucker ate a bat. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Come on. It's, think about us over here, goddamn.
It's those fucking wet markets. The is wet
that,
markets.
If that's really, or if it came from wherever the fuck this shit came from.
No, but then these fuckers cut open animals next to each other in these wet markets in China, and then everything cross.
Yeah, I watched a Bourdain. I remember watching a Bourdain episode where
I miss him.
They would me too. They would grab the food and put it in this little basket, and people are sitting in what's equivalent to like a stadium, and they just hand the basket up, you know, right there, and you just sit there and tear it up right there. And I was like, God,
savages.
Yeah,
nasty.
Okay. All right, we're done with coronavirus.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's
I felt
get
good
it.
About that. I want to talk about. You said you wanted to come on today and talk about postpartum one and two.
One and two, yeah. Well, because
I didn't know both times.
Oh, my God. And the second time, I think, was way worser in some regards. And I thought it would be way better.
Better?
So, way better than the first one.
But even though you knew what was could potentially come and what was what you had gone through, and was it different?
Yeah.
Because not every woman gets postpartum, right?
No. That's what fucked me up is that I see all these bitches on Instagram.
These Instagram bitches.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm savoring every moment of this newborn because I know it's going to go away. And I'm like, I didn't feel that way. I didn't savor. There were moments where
walk us through baby one.
Okay. So baby one, I'm 5 months pregnant and I'm at Montreal Comedy Festival. And I land in Montreal and I've got these text messages like call your manager. And I was like, all right, cool. What is going on? Usually that's not how that goes down. They just call you. Anyway, I get in the hotel. Tom meets me there. Tom's there before me. And we go up to the hotel room and he goes, you need to sit down. I have some news for you. And I'm like, what? And I thought he was going to tell me that this show got picked up that he and I had. I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, your mom died. And I was like, what? I started laughing. That's my reaction. I was like, what? Shut up. Like, I pushed him. I'm like, okay, whatever. Tell me that, you know. He's like, no, I got this call. Your mom passed away. And that was like, I hadn't spoken to her in 8 years because of her mental illness. And it was like, she was so far gone. And so I was pregnant. And I think it was, you know, you're grieving. Yeah, you're
but
grieving.
Now
a parent.
You're a mom.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm
man.
In the process of becoming a mom. Lord.
No, you're a mom. If you're 5 months pregnant, you're a mom.
But you don't,
you haven't become,
it's
yes,
not
you haven't
really.
Been, I hear you.
But you're maternal, yes. And you're like,
there's
all right.
There's a human in your skin.
Literally. And that freaked me out too. Like, what's going to happen? Is it like alien? It's going to take over my organs? Am I going to explode? All that stuff is terrifying.
I remember seeing like Stella's like foot go, I'd look, I'd see the arm, I'd see it. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy. There's somebody in there.
Yeah.
It didn't. I know this is so, I've said it before. It's so ignorant, though, of as typical the way a man probably thinks. And I've always been embarrassed when a woman has said something to me and I've been like, oh my God. You know, I mean, like, it was right there, but I'm so busy looking for the answer everywhere else. I'm like, where the fuck? And it's right here. But a woman said to me one time, I don't know, it might be my late 30s, might even been in my 40s. And she's like, yeah. But you've never had to ever walk away from sex worried if there was a person growing inside you. And when she said it like that, I was like, I've always worried if there's one growing inside you.
Yeah.
I've never had to worry if there's a human yeah. growing inside my body. And when she said those words that way, I was like, man, I'm embarrassed. I've never had that thought. I've always been worried about
the other.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, and it is a mind fuck that, again, that's also very fetishized in our culture, that pregnancy is the best time. And isn't she glowing? And isn't this the most wonderful, magical, you should be? And it is. I actually loved my second pregnancy because it was less stressful. And I enjoy being pregnant. I'm one of those freaks that now likes it. But the first one,
you
was,
have another?
No, I'm too old.
You're not too old.
I would if there were any. I'm going to be 44 next month. So yeah, that's fucking too old. I can't do it. I don't have the energy.
I feel you on that.
And then there's no energy. I have two little boys. It's crazy.
Yeah, you do.
But I remember when I first found out I was pregnant with Ellis, and I started to panic. I had like a panic attack because I'm like, can I travel? Can I tell jokes? Can I listen to Howard Stern anymore? Like, right, I'm becoming a mom. So my mother dies and I'm pregnant, and I have this weird reaction where like I start crying pretty quickly. Like when you find out someone dies, the first stage
is
shock.
In the room right there, you're crying?
No, it's shock. You sit down.
You didn't cry the first day?
No. I did later. Like, it took about, I think, a half hour for, like, you really to go, like, your brain can't process death.
No,
as
not,
you know.
Not like that.
No, especially when it's your parent and it's a strained relationship and it was complicated and gross and messy. And
you're not seeing it. Tom's telling you something happened. It's not like you walked in or you saw your mom have a heart attack or car crash or, yeah, you're just being told. And how did she die? What happened?
So she had like heart failure, congestive heart failure.
How old?
She was only 72.
That's young.
Yeah. And she'd been sick. She'd been on the decline for a while. She had cancer and like she was also deeply psychotic and removed from reality, blah, blah. But then
and
I
you
finally
have to do
cried.
A show that night?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I did have shows scheduled, but obviously I was like, well, we're going to cancel tonight. And I did have this weird reaction where I was like, I'm a soldier. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't fucking cancel shows, bitch. So then the next day I started performing right away because I didn't want to feel.
Did you talk about it at all?
Some people knew in my immediate circle. Like my husband knew. Bert was there. I told him. And I remember Bert's reaction was like, oh, bullshit. You haven't talked to your mom in 8 years? That's not possible, Push.
Push. Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? It is highly possible. Yes, that was my. He's like, who does that? That's one of a. Like, he couldn't wrap his brain.
Right.
And you know that, too. And people that have good relationships with their parents cannot fathom the anger or the resentment that you feel as a child of that person.
But also can't. And Bert's a great dad. Can't fathom a parent not wanting to speak to their fucking kid. You know, there's that.
She
too.
Kicked me
right,
out. That's why I couldn't talk to her.
Way, yeah.
I wanted love and I tried repeatedly.
Can
to
you
get
imagine
that
being
love?
Five, like, fuck your love, yeah. Ma. You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't happen.
No, and that's a child's most primal fear is separation from their parents. Mm-hmm. And so she would kick me out routinely and she kicked me out. That's the last, it was her doing. Anyway, so I'm pregnant. I do shows. Which is, I don't even know how I did that. But I think, you know, like I said, I was in shock. And I was like, if I go home, I'm all alone. My husband's here.
Can I ask
here.
You a question?
Yeah.
Is it's always been like this for me, no matter how bad things have been. When you were on stage, did you even think about it?
No. You can't.
Everything just disappears. If for an hour, for 15, whatever that set is, I've always, thank God for stand-up. Because
oh
no matter
God.
What it's been, when I've set foot on that stage, like not a blip of it goes through my mind.
I know.
It's a saving grace.
Isn't
I'll
that,
say that.
I'll tell you this. I don't think I've ever talked about this, but I was having a miscarriage once on New Year's Eve.
What?
In Austin, Texas.
Because you were drinking?
No. I got so ripped. I killed that baby.
That's the way. You got to bring in the new year. You know what I'm saying? Out with
I
this
had
baby. In with the new year.
I had to party. Wouldn't that be fucking amazing? No. So we were in Austin and I was having a fucking miscarriage and it started in the green room.
No.
Yeah.
Did you, how many months pregnant were you?
It was a chemical. It was like five weeks.
And
so
you,
literally the first week.
Did you know what was happening? Like, did you feel what was happening?
Because I had had one before. So I was in the green room with Tom about to go up on fucking New
Tom
Year's
sounds
Eve.
Like bad luck. All the bad news.
This guy's jizz. Yeah. I mean, Duds, blanks. Come on. Yeah, no, it's not him. Yeah. So I was on the phone with my gynecologist, and she's like, well, it's possible for you to bleed and you won't lose the baby. So they give you that ounce of hope. But in my heart, I knew it was going. It was going. And I've had to tell jokes knowing I'm losing a baby. Like, it was literally like New Year's Eve. Like, hey, guys, how's everybody?
And your body is physically going through that while you're on stage selling drugs.
I had to take, the pain was starting to. Jesus, and then I had a miscarriage that weekend. So I had to go perform because it's New Year's week. You can't.
This is why you're a woman, though. Yeah. We are fucking pussies. We'd have been curled up in the corner like, I ain't going out there. I'm bleeding. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. My baby. We'd have been, you guys are soldiers. You are.
I know. And we
are way stronger than we are.
Yeah, we don't get credit, but you guys are maniacs. Like, I watched Gladiator last night, and you watch how they would just put men on fields with ratchet, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
machetes, and you're like, that's crazy. You guys did the dirty work.
Like, listen,
society.
I'm all for you ladies going out and being the hunting and gatherers. I'll stay home. Yeah. I'll stay home with the kids. I'll bring that bear carcass in here. I'll make a rug out of that motherfucker tonight. Get out there and get us two more. Yeah.
No,
I don't want to be that.
I'll tell you, I used to be so much more of a feminist before I had children. Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. And now I'm like, just
do
go
that
ahead,
for
Tom.
Me,
I'll see you later. Yeah. No.
Go get my prescription.
Yeah, you go to Toledo for the weekend. I'm going to stay home with the kids. Yeah, you know, let him do the dirty work. And I do.
Find out your mom passes.
Died.
You're processing.
Fucking 5 months pregnant. And I'm doing shows at Montreal and just pretending like it's not happening. And then, you know, I'm eating my poutine. I'm fucking chowing on waffles. And I get home, and now comes the calls from the priest, from the morgue, from the, you know, when somebody dies, it's a whole industry. It's like going to pick out the coffin, or are you going to cremate her and put her in a fucking box? What kind of box? Did you love her? Because if you loved your mom, you would buy the, you know, the $3,000 Gucci
box. Yeah. I brought this Costco box. I brought this box.
Yeah, like, how about just put her in
this
case?
This is how much I love her.
Exactly.
I brought these pantyhose right here, so if a little drips out, it's fine.
So,
can I ask, too? Yeah. I'm assuming with her condition, there was no will, there was no...
Now, so when she was more lucid and still married to my stepfather, she had created a will.
Yeah, because that's a whole other thing, yeah.
So, yeah, just know that if you want to give the greatest gift to your children, it's put your will together so that, I mean, now. Do it now, even if you're 40 and you're fine. Yeah, do it.
I talked to Tom about it, too. He's like, that's one of the best things you could do. Because
it's a gift.
You pay, like, I'll tell you, maybe $2,000, $2,500. You get it set up. It doesn't go through court. They don't, because this is what they all told me. Like, listen, by the time that shit goes through court, it'll take a couple years because the system's so, and who knows now with however backed up this shit is. And then every shark takes their little fucking bite out of the thing. And by the time your kids get that money, it's not what it was supposed to be. So set it up. I did a living will and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I even put in there that my daughter has to take my ashes and go back to the Y River in Maryland, where we used to crab with our dad, and sprinkle my ashes. It's in the will. Because,
I love it.
It's a romanticized thing for me. Like, it's going to be my daughter's last trip with her dad. But in real life, it's going to be pouring down rain. They're going to get stuck in mud. They're going to throw me just out the fucking window. You know what I mean? That's what's going to happen. And I'm fine with that. By the way. I'm fine with that. But it's in there that you got to go take a trip back there. And I mean, I've eaten enough crabs in my life. It's time to give it back to them. I'm all wrapped up, it's time to give it back.
You know what's so funny is that, so I chose to have my mother cremated because she'd specified that.
She didn't specify.
No, we discussed it when she was alive. And I think it's pragmatic and it's what I want to be done to me, whatever.
So you're 5 months pregnant and now you're dealing with every fucking Tom, Dick, and Harry in the death business.
And going to the morgue, I remember, and here I am, boop, and then one of the most joyful times in a woman's life is being, you know, it's your first baby and my husband's nice to me, and filling out paperwork. What was her name? What was her date of birth? Where was she born? And then the best was, he's like, do you want to see her one last time? I was like, fuck no. Are you out of your mind? No. But I bought the pendant with her fingerprints.
Well, you know?
They're like, did you want the pendant with her finger? I was like, yeah, I want the fucking pendant. Like, I merched it up. I was like, yeah, give her the nice box. Yeah, like I totally.
She had some pens made with her name on it. Would you like those? Yeah, give me those pens.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so it's surreal.
So you never saw her.
I didn't see her before she passed.
So do you remember the last time you saw her?
Yeah, she threw me out. I was in her apartment, and my dad had taken me to see her, and I sat down on her. She was in like a hospital bed in her apartment, and she was like, "You are not a good daughter," and she was telling me what a bad daughter I was, and I was like,
"I always imagine your mom smoking while she talks with that accent, yeah, just chain smoking, like the cigarette never gets done." You know?
She should have, and she was just saying like, "You know, you don't love me. I'm going to kill myself." Like she was always very, just like you know, on death's door, blah blah blah, for 20 years, and And I was like, Mom, I was just trying to convince her. Like, I know I'm here because I love you. I want us to be close. And she goes, oh, your father is here. Don't let him in. I look terrible. I don't have my makeup. And she covered her face because she didn't have her makeup on. And then she basically, she kicked me out. She was like, well, I don't want to see you. I did get out of here. You're a bad daughter. It was something about me being a bad daughter, blah, blah, blah. And that was the last time. And then I tried calling her. One time, and she was like, I am moving the furniture right now. I cannot talk. Like, my stepdad and her were moving furniture. And then one of the final times, too, she claimed to have a stroke. And she called me from the hospital. And Tom came with me on this one. She, I am in Tarzana Hospital. I had a stroke. And I was like, oh, fuck, Tom, let's go. And we went to see her. And I saw the doctor. And I'm like, my mom had a stroke? And he's like, no, no. She just fell down at Lamps R Us. I think she was dehydrated.
All that furniture move and trying to light the place up.
And I'm like,
dehydrated Lamps R Us.
It was in the valley. It was like summer. It was hot. And she didn't drink enough water. But in her mind, it was a stroke. Yeah. I can't talk. I have a stroke. And Tom was joking with her because we found out it wasn't serious. And he's like, what are you going to do tonight? You going to go dancing? Furious. That lit her up. She was like, how dare you say that to me? You get out of here, you piece of shit. Like, just yelling. I was like, oh, no.
I still can't see in my apartment because we didn't get the lamps.
I was at Lamps R Us. Having a good time.
Let's take a quick break. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. And we're going to talk about something we could all use more of right now. Sex. Great sex. God knows I could use some great, great sex. And guys, now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. These guys over here at YMH swear by it. A great friend of mine from high school who would not appreciate me saying his name probably is an avid user, and it works. I'm telling you. It works. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package. There's no awkwardness. And you do not need to leave the house. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Right now, I got a special deal for my listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you will get your first order free when you use the special promo code HoneyDew. You pay $5 for shipping, all right? Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code HoneyDew to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support the sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use our promo code HoneyDew at BlueChew.com. Now let's get back to the do.
So then there's just the business of cleaning out her apartment. And so my dad was in Hungary at the time of my mother's death. And I called my dad, and I was like, I have news. Mom died. And he goes, oh, yeah? Oh, fuck. She called me a few days ago, left a voicemail. I never checked it. And I was like, well, you may want to. I mean, I don't know what she said. And he was in Hungary on vacation. And he's like, okay, well, I mean, I'm on vacation. So.
Wow.
And I go, Dad, I have to clean out her apartment because she's renting. And like, there's a time, I'm not going to pay rent on her fucking apartment. So you need to come home and help me. I'm pregnant and Tom's on the road, but keep in mind, he's working his ass off so we can have a baby. So my dad begrudgingly, like 2 weeks later.
2 weeks? You hustled it right up.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm supposed to be gone for 6, but I'll be back in 2. God
yeah. Damn it. It was like I was pulling, like I was asking the ultimate sacrifice for him to give up his vacation to help me clean out my dead mother's home and help with the affairs. And so he finally flies home and he brings his girlfriend to help me clean out the apartment of my dead mom. And like, keep
in
mind,
this is the first time you're meeting this one.
Maybe. I don't even remember. Who knows which one. And here's the deal. No one tells you this shit too. When there's like hospice workers helped her die, praise the hospice workers.
Yeah, for real. Like, any
death workers.
Yes, God. Nurses, saints. Doctors, hospice, all those people for sure.
Saints to help my mother.
A stranger
die.
To them.
Yeah.
Yes. To help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could you fucking imagine anything worse as a gig? So you have to keep in mind, this is a gruesome sight. This is like tubing on her bed that they had just left. They don't clean up after a death scene. So I'm 5 months pregnant and I'm cleaning. Now I am six to seven months pregnant.
Yeah, because he took two.
He took a fucking week. Yeah.
You're in your third trimester almost.
Yeah. And at this point, I should be preparing the nursery for my new baby and like really looking and focusing on our family. But I can't. I'm dealing with my mother's death.
You should be planning for the new and you're ushering out the old.
Yes. So it's very much of a mind fuck. And so she's helped. The girlfriend is helping clean out my mother's closet.
What a weird situation for her, too. Like
the
if
girlfriend?
I was, yeah. Oh like if God. I was someone's boyfriend and I was going with them to clean out their ex's fucking
what?
I wouldn't. I'd be like, I'm not comfortable doing that.
Not comfortable. It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's boundaries, right?
That's your daughter's mother. Like,
yeah. Now here's the best part is that my mother had a lot of very beautiful, you know, handbags, Gucci, Versace, nice fur coats, jewelry, you know. And my dad, we're pulling down the purses and my dad goes, why don't you give Susan one of your mother's purses?
That's what he promised her. He's like, I'll give you one of these. That was a little workout deal.
Yeah.
But Susan wasn't coming unless she was getting one either.
I was like, what?
Susan's getting a bag.
What? I'm like, no. I'm not giving this bitch one of my mom's get the fuck out of here. I was grateful that she had helped, but I'm like, that's insanity. And then my mom had these rings. And I remember my dad was like, I could take that. I could take that and get that appraised. My friend you know, George or whatever. I'm like, that's okay. I think I'll do it. Like,
well, right on Susan's finger.
Yeah.
Hold this, Susan. Hold this on your middle finger. Just so we don't lose.
100%. Such a scumbag, right?
Yeah, I'm like, a dick move.
Yeah. And then he wanted a car. I gave him my mom's car, and I shouldn't have in retrospect, but I did. I was like, whatever. Just, you know, you need a car. You're an old man. Take the car. So I'm dealing with all that. Yeah. And then finally, like, months go by, and like I said, I should
can
be
I
focusing
ask you this
babies.
Too? Like,
yeah.
As you're going through your mom's shit, is the trauma coming back?
Oh.
Like, right?
Oh.
Every time I've ever had to move, I remember there was one time I was being forced out of my grandmother's house after she passed away, and we're packing up again. It's just this that old familiar feeling of being thrown away, being a honeydew, just being tossed the fuck out when there's nothing wrong with you. And I found a picture. And I broke down. I started, I've never thought of ever killing myself, really.
Yeah.
But I always thought if there was something I could have done to myself that night, maybe I might have. It's the closest I've ever got to seriously considering, not doing, but considering the thought. Like, maybe I would be better off not here. And I just had been, you know, it all comes up. And then you get into the new place and you unpack that old shit.
Oh,
here it comes again, you know?
Well,
so you're clearing out, not just, you're clearing out your whole life.
Not my life. So,
well, it's hers,
her
but it's
life.
All your memories of that stuff.
100%. And now, so it's stuff when she was more lucid when I was a child, which was great, like memories I had had. And then I saw her decline. So it was, She'd kept notes on things that my husband said on a podcast or that I had said.
Nuh-uh. She listened.
Yeah, she listened.
And did you know that?
No.
You find this little book or something?
Mm-hmm. She had kept, she printed out a folder, and if there was a picture like on the internet of my husband with his arm around a girl like a fan.
Is this how Tom came up with Mostly Stories? Could you imagine?
My mom's dossier.
All shit she like, wrote. Like, oh, that's funny. Wow. Yeah.
Taking a dump. Yeah. But she had kept notes on us, and it was very bizarre. And she'd collected, she'd make notes about what dogs she'd seen in the neighborhood, passwords where she'd highlight, you know, instruction manuals to, she'd have the Bible, and she was obsessed with the Bible, and like, she'd really lost her shit. So actually that was harder to really see the extent of her psychosis and her decline. Cause you don't remember them that way. Your parents, you think of them as they were when you were young. Mm-hmm. And she was more lucid when I was younger. So that was actually the hardest, was to go like, oh, wow. Like it validated my whole thing of being fucked up. Like it wasn't just a hallucination. Like she was crazy and
right.
She raised me. So I've had to do a lot of work to get out of that upside down of like, cause no one validated it that she was crazy. Like my dad would be like, what's wrong with you? You know, he was crazy. He's the one bringing Susan
to get him back.
Yeah. So yeah. Everybody in my parent world was foreign and crazy. So it was like, that was happening. And then now I'm going to become a mother, and there's no mother to show me how to be a mom like my whole life. And then there's no aunt, there's no grandma. Like, I don't have anybody.
Susan's not stepping up.
Oh, wait until that. He wanted to bring Susan to the delivery.
What? But first of all, that is insane. But why would Susan want to come to the delivery?
She wanted to watch me breastfeed. What the first fuck? Time. I remember it was like the first day Ellis was born. You know when they first, like they teach a woman how to breastfeed in the hospital? It was like day two of his life. And I was like, okay, well, I got to feed my son. So fuck off now. Get out of my room. And she was like, can I watch? She asked
she?
Me 50 something. My dad's 70 something.
Yeah, right.
Can I watch? She asked me and I said, no, I don't really feel comfortable. Like I'm, who the fuck are you?
Right.
Yeah. So shit like that was depressing too. Like I had no support in my bio family. And
no common sense.
No common, like
just the standard shit.
Yeah,
no structure, no boundaries.
And I also had never held a baby. I never held a baby. I never changed a diaper. My first time was with Ellis. And so like, I'm a perfectionist. I'm the kind of person, if you throw me into something, I have to be great at it right away. I'm very fucking hard on myself. I barely got into college, but when I did, my first semester was straight fucking A's because I am not going home.
I'm in, God.
I am all in, and I'm never going home. I barely got in here, but you watch. I'm going to work my dick off, and I'm going to be the best. Same with stand-up. I'm very like, I got to go. So, you know, I find myself getting very anxious. You know, you can't sleep, obviously, because the baby's awake too. And that ride home, you know what I'm talking about. The first ride home with a baby.
Man, I was slowing down at green lights. You know what I mean? Like, I think this one's coming up yellow, guys. Hang on. That was more than anything. I'm so glad you said it because I was more scared than her dying in her sleep, scared than suffocating, choking, was the ride. When they give you this human with no instructions and go, here, good luck to you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, fuck. I was the same way. And on that ride home, I was scared.
And
scared.
I didn't even know how to buckle him into the seat. Mm-hmm. I remember Tom and I both being like, nurse, can somebody help me? And I sat next to the baby. And I'm, you know, your insides are still jelly when you give birth. Like your organs are up here and they need to settle. So I can't really walk. Like
they make you go out in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah. And you're physically just devastated. And I don't like to be sick. I don't like to be infirm because I'm very like, fuck you, I'm gonna do it. So to be like broken mentally, physically, and then have this newborn, it was too much. I think I fucking cracked. Like, I remember Tom going to do stand up, like just a spot at the Ice House or something, maybe a month after Ellis was born. And I was changing Ellis's diaper. And I had convinced myself that he was getting a fever, even though I don't think he was sick at all. I was convinced. I didn't want to take his anal temperature, even though that's how you're supposed to do it. I was like, I can't. I don't. And I fucking called him and I was like crying hysterically. Like, you need to come home. You need to come home. I can't do this alone. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And like, oh, I remember when I brought Ellis home, we had hired a nanny to help. We had like no help. We have no family. And I remember coming into the door, like that first time home with a baby. And she's like, let me have him. You need to go sleep. And I handed her my child, but my paranoid, crazy mind was already like, what if she smothers him? What if she drops him? I don't know this person enough. I don't trust you.
Yeah, you see these videos of people putting kids in the freezer and shit because they cry. Yeah, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah. But when you're postpartum, that's even worse. And she read it on me and she was like, don't worry, go lay down. I'm going to be sitting right here. And I was like, okay, this bitch knows I'm losing my fucking mind. And
that's nice.
Yeah, she was really great. No, and now I would not hire a nanny that has not had children.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Did Susan have kids?
Yeah.
Susan apparently gets off by watching ladies breastfeed.
I was so weird.
Can I watch? Susan, get the fuck out of here, goddamn it.
Yeah. Can I watch?
That's so gross.
It was the weirdest thing.
It's just a tier lower than a dude saying, can I watch? Like, I don't know why. Yeah. It's Susan's right behind
that.
Who
the fuck are you?
I just met you.
Yeah, bitch. You're not even my stepmom. Like, a month from now, you will be replaced by somebody else.
I know you don't want me to get that Gucci bag, but can I watch you? Can I watch your breastfeed?
I mean, ay vey. So, yeah, so I lost my fucking mind. But you know when you're losing your mind, you don't know it at the time?
I don't know. I've never had postpartum, you know?
Yeah, well, when you're in it, everything happens, it creeps up slowly to the point where it's your normal, right? Like,
yes.
Everything becomes high anxiety. Like, I have to take the baby to the doctor today. How am I going to do that? I have to shower. I have to put him in the thing. And then what if he starts crying? And what if I can't feed him? And what, like, all these crazy fucking thoughts happen. And then you just get depressed and crazy and days and nights blend together, which is also a normal part of being a new mom.
I remember that part too. Like, you're like, what day is it? Oh my God, we just woke up 10 minutes ago. It's 6 o'clock already. Like, I remember that being a fucking blur. Yeah.
And depression, because you go, what have I done? What the fuck is this? Why did nobody tell me that this is horrible? Like I said, Instagram told me that this was the best time in my life and I should be savoring these moments, and I'm not. I don't like it. I don't like being a mom. I fucked up. Plus, dealing with the grieving of my own mother, it was complicated. It was too much. And I didn't know.
How far into this are you at feeling like you fucked up? 2 months? 3 months?
Dude, it was like
right
a
away.
Weekend.
Oh, wow.
Where I'm like.
Like it was a one-night stand. I was like, I don't know.
I should be into this. Yeah, I was like, fuck, dude. And I even kind of concealed it from my therapist because we would talk and she's like, don't worry, it's going to get better, I promise. And I was like, okay. Like, I kind of was white knuckling.
Yeah.
And I took progesterone and that helped.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a year of just like not sleeping, being obsessed with the baby, obsessed. I'm going to drop him. I'm going to drop him. He's not going to be okay. And then once they turn a year, I chill. Same with Julian. So Julian comes, the second baby. And I think I'm going to be fine. I'm like, it's going to be fine. It actually gets worse because he's born and I know what's coming. Do you know what I mean? Like,
is it a chemical?
I know.
Like,
yeah.
It is. So 100%. So if you had four babies, do you think you'd have postpartum after every one of them?
Yeah. And I do think it has something to do with my age because I'm older. And so the hormonal stuff is whack. Like, I'm supposed to be perimenopausal, right? Like mid 40s is when you start to shut down. Yeah. So.
Estrogen patches and everything else.
You're
all
did
antsy
and
angry as fuck. Yeah, I'm dealing with it.
Oh, you're on that. You're doing this now?
We're going through it.
Oh no.
Yeah, she has a patch and all that stuff now.
Yeah, and I with Ellis, I didn't have that kind of interference, but with Julian, yeah, I was doing patches and I was injecting myself.
I had to
every
inject
night.
Her with progesterone too.
Yeah, for like months. Yeah, and then so to have that. You literally have everything inside of you come out of you in one push. Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
And so you're just literally left hollow and you're like, bleh, you just crash. and you're tired and broken.
I mean, I've taken shits where I've cried after. You know what I mean? I can't imagine a child coming
it's
out of me.
Exactly the same. Yeah. But you're physically broken. You're low, and it's terrifying. And with Julian, I
and
was
it took,
like,
so.
And the
how far between are Julian and Ellis? 2 years?
Yeah,
two and a half years.
So
for a full year, you're going through postpartum with Ellis.
Yeah.
And then you start to feel better, and then pretty quickly get pregnant again.
I lose my mind. Yeah, because like what happens is I got on that progesterone after Ellis about when he was about 4 or 5 months old, and that really leveled me out. And when Ellis is about 8 months old, I start to think about baby number two because I'm like, all right, I made it through the dark forest. I think I can do this.
Can you talk about what you felt like when you felt it shift for the better and like how you felt and what
yeah.
it was like? Like, did you really feel like you were coming out of something, or did you just all of a sudden notice you didn't feel this way anymore? Like, what happened?
Oh, well, I like to really monitor my internal states. And I remember with Julian. Because I can't remember that far back. Sorry. It's also a blur. Like, you lose your memory as a mom.
But were you like, woo! Like, it's over? Like, people are going to be after this fucking coronavirus?
Yeah,
or were you just like, oh, my God, I haven't felt like shit for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It was subtle with Julian, the depression and the anxiety. The anxiety started with Julian. I would get preoccupied with supplies. It's an anxiety disorder. I develop OCDs is what I notice. And I got to buy wipes. We don't have enough wipes. We have to buy diapers. I got to buy more diapers. What does he need? What does he need? Let me go get it. And it became like, if I could just acquire enough things for the baby would be okay. With Ellis, it was checking on him. Is he breathing? Are you breathing? Okay, good. Is he breathing? Okay,
I did
good.
That a lot. I was by myself when she's one, and I put her in bed and she'd sleep. I creep back the hall and I put my ear right up there to hear the.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I got another 30, 40 minutes of relaxation. Oh. And I'm back there again like. Okay, she turned, so she's still alive. You know,
yeah.
I still, man.
Well, and then you add breastfeeding to it, which is they pressure you to breastfeed. The hospital I delivered Ellison, it was mandated that you had to breastfeed. There was no other option. No, I was like,
what if you didn't want to?
There's no fucking.
And
culture
I know
today,
some women have trouble with like they don't their nipples aren't long enough,
course.
And the baby doesn't latch, and it hurts them.
Of and, like, course, and we had those problems with Ellis too. He didn't latch. I had huge tits full of milk. The baby wasn't drinking it. He was starving. He was crying.
And you're in pain.
And I'm freaked out. I'm in pain. It's like the worst thing. And with Julian, I learned the tricks from the first baby. So that part wasn't so crazy. But I got obsessed with my milk supply. I've got to increase the supply. I got obsessed with pumping.
Did you
I got
freeze
obsessed.
Them and stuff?
I did everything.
Bags. Yeah, we did that.
All this fucking nutty shit. So anyway, I noticed that I wasn't enjoying anything. Life became very survival, you know, when you're just surviving, everything.
And no medication at the time.
No, Julian, no.
Counter that.
Not yet. But I noticed that I'm getting like everything's overwhelming. Where are my keys? I can't do anything right. Like everything's scary and overwhelming, and I'm OCD about everything. Like I'm developing obsessions, and then I tell my shrink, I'm like, and then the fires happen,
mm-hmm.
and I lose my fucking mind having a baby.
And Tom, was he out? The town during that?
No, he was here, thankfully. There. We evacuated our house. We went to a hotel, and that's when it was like, I am cooked. I need something here. Something is wrong. Because I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't enjoying life at all. And then I took Lexapro, and it was like, oh, I think I want to see that funny video Tom's watching. Oh, that's a sign. But the first time I took Lexapro, I literally, in my head, like I went boop, and I heard that Nina and the Waves song, I'm walking on sunshine.
Susan touched your tongue.
Literally, it touched my tongue, just 5 milligrams, and I was singing it in my sleep. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
I took it for a little while. I took it for like 6 months. I took a 5 milligram, and it just didn't work for me. It didn't. Like, I've had friends tell me it made them a zombie, where they didn't have any high highs or any low lows. And I would bite down on my jaw a lot. Like,
ooh.
I was on speed. You know, ooh. I would do that. And then I knew I took it not too long ago, and I heard this song. I can't remember her name, Camila Cabello or whatever her name is. Shawn Mendes is dating her or something. The girl got in trouble for some old racist tweets. But anyway, she's got this fucking
song. It sounds
like
everybody in
right?
the world, like racist
every,
tweets.
Every young kid that's coming up.
Okay.
This song is called like The First Man Who Ever Loved Me or something. It popped up. So I'm listening and her voice is amazing. So I'm listening to the words and I just love the words in songs. And it ends up being she's singing to her dad. She's an older girl now. She's gone out with this guy and he's not going to drink and drink all this shit, but you're the first man who ever loved. I start fucking bawling and laughing at the same time. Like, yeah, this is like, bro, this shit ain't working. But I was happy, you know what I mean? It was like, and I was like, oh, I do feel things. I feel things. I feel things. And then, so I play it for Donna and I'm like, listen to this song. And I don't tell her anything about it. And then it clicks. She's like, oh, this is Stella singing to you. And I was like, yeah. And then we both just started laughing. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, something's.
I'm a sucker sometimes, though. Mm. But I don't want to not feel that. You know what I mean? Like
not feel sadness?
Yeah, I don't want to not feel, but that wasn't necessarily a sadness. That was it was emotional, but I don't know if it was sad, you know? It was
You were very moved.
Yeah.
No, you can still get
But I don't want to be a zombie. I want to have high highs. And if I have a low, then I want to experience that and then pull myself up out of it so I know again like yo, that was a bad spot. I don't want to just go through life going, oh, seven people just died next to me.
No, and it Lexapro shouldn't do that to you. That's a warning that it's not working for you. They actually tell you. They're like, if you're
you don't
flat,
touch your tongue and sing Walking on Sunshine, it ain't working. No, I'll tell you, that didn't happen.
No, because I still feel and I still get moved. I just don't. I don't. For me, it fought anxiety disorder. Like, anxiousness. I was always hyper vigilant is what they call it. Anxiousness. I used to wake up with both babies. Wake up before the baby. Okay, what do I got to do? I got to go down. I got to prepare the bottle. I got to get the thing ready. And I would just everything. I was always 10 steps ahead. I got to feed the dogs. I got to fucking do. Like that hyper vigilance way of living is just terrible. And
yeah,
Tom doesn't know what the fuck to do with me when I'm like that. What can he do? He can't relate. And as a woman, you feel like it's all on you to keep that baby alive because you're the milk, you're the supply, you're the your mom. It all boils down to mom. It ain't fucking dad. No. Dad's tits ain't going to feed that baby.
My titties ain't feeding that baby. Nope.
It's mom. And especially with little boys, that developmental thing, they're in love with mom, dude. Like you see it with Stella and you. I'm sure like it is daddy. It is fucking daddy. And
yeah,
you
she
set
gives
her
mom a hard time that she does not give me.
No.
And I see it. You know, I'm like, yo, we don't do that. We don't do that. And she'll look at me and she'll be like, you know, but I also am working on mastering looks.
Oh, that.
Instead of yelling, you know, just firing that look off that says everything. That's what I'm working. I mean, I'm getting pretty good at it. She knows what's up.
Yeah.
But I've yelled. I've only snapped once. And she goes, you made me cry. I go, well, you know what? You're 5.5 years old. I've done that one time. I'm allowed to take an L. You know what I'm saying? I'm allowed to take an L.
Yeah, you did good.
Yeah, and you also, dad's not fucking around. I'll make a mistake, but it's not going to be the, oh, it's okay. It shit's not okay. Neither was me yelling, but I've done that one time in her entire life. And it wasn't even that bad.
She'll
you know, she just
fine.
Hadn't seen it yet. You know, she's like, what is that? I was like, that's me being fucking serious. Now here's some ice cream.
Yeah. But she has to know. Kids also, I feel like Tommy's more of a yeller than me. He gets a little more emotional. And I'm like, well.
I know. I've been on the phone with him when he's like, my God. He's yelling like, hey,
ow, what
don't you touch that.
But I think it's especially with boys and men. That's some alpha dog shit I can't teach my sons. You guys have a natural order to male dominance. You walk into a room, I don't know, you guys size up other dudes, right? Like, could I kill that guy? I don't know. I can't teach him that.
I can take that, dude. I can take that one. I probably can't, but I'll probably buddy up with him. So he can fuck the other two up.
Right. Like the male, you guys are different that way. I cannot teach my sons that alpha shit of like, put that fucking down. Like that is a dad. Your dad needs to scream at you a little bit.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. A little bit of yelling is fine. Don't hit him. Just yell at him. Let him know that you got to let him know.
I mean that you mean fucking business and the world isn't always going to be
But
great.
Also, I believe in if you just switch gears, you know, if we stayed in first gear all the time, what fucking fun is that? You know what I mean? If you're going to push, then I go somewhere too. You know, it has to, I think you need to match the intensity sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But also sometimes you just, you know, your anxiety and all the bullshit you're dealing with from today just got stacked onto this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And with Julia and I feel more guilty because there were times I had to walk away. Like the crying would just put me like in a, I can't do it. I got to walk away from this. And I would hand the baby to somebody else. Thankfully, I think that's what my shrink was telling me, that so many women, when they get this stuff, they don't admit it and they don't ask for help. And that's what really damages your kids. If you can just be like, I'm out of my mind. Someone take this baby from me.
So did you know it was postpartum?
Second time.
But what about the first time?
No fucking idea.
And you had never felt this way before?
Never in my life was I this hyper anxious.
So did you go get help the first time or you just sort of worked through it?
No, I have a shrink that I've been with for like a decade.
Okay.
But I was concealing from her how fucking terrified and fucked up I was. I was like, I'm fine. No, it's good. We're good. It's good. Because I didn't know. I had no idea. I just thought this is what motherhood was. I'm just going to have to suffer. It's going to be like this forever. I don't know. Is this what it's like to have kids? This is terrible. Why does everyone say it's so great? It's terrible. And then, like I said, he would get developmentally older and I would relax. He would sleep through the night. Oh, okay. No, this is better. Okay, I get this. This is cute. Like, okay, he can eat now. Oh, good. I stopped breastfeeding at 4 months. Okay, good, good. Now this is... okay, this is getting the more, you know, and then by the time he was up and walking and pulling shit down and, you know, telling me no and fuck off, I was like, all right, I like this. This is what I'm talking about.
Got it.
Give me 10 toddlers over a newborn any day. I don't
sure.
do newborn.
It does get easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
it. I mean, the thing about newborns that I loved is they don't walk. They don't, you know, you could back, I could shower. I could set you right in the little car seat or the little clicker thing, boom, right on the floor, and I could shower and stuff. Now, I would be so scared, like, to let her eat where I wasn't in the room.
Now?
No. When, you know, she'd be in her high chair at 2 or whatever, and I'd feed her, and I'm like, I got to get a fucking shower. When am I ever going to get a fucking shower? And I'd be like, are you all right out there? I still, you know, yeah. I'm like, all right. Yeah. I just keep showering as fast as I can. You good? Why you keep asking?
Oh,
I have anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of that stuff. But I don't know. Now I love it. Like, Julian is almost 2. Ellis is 4. And it's fucking rad. Because I'm dealing with people
who can
fucking communicate and talk.
And tell me what they like and don't like and how they're feeling. And
It's the helplessness of the newborn that made me like, I can't. I don't know. I'm scared. And it's on mom.
You didn't take Lexapro till the second time.
Till the second one.
So you just, well, you didn't even really work with your therapist for a bit. You kept it from her for a little while.
I did. And then.
When did you finally like, all right, this shit's crazy?
By the second baby, because I looked back
so
and
wow
I went,
all the way to there, huh?
I didn't know. I did not.
I see.
It wasn't until I had Julian and I was like, oh.
And you didn't read up or look up this
I
stuff,
did right? But okay, put it this way, I was goth since I was 12 or 13, so depression, anxiety,
you put the OG in goth.
Yeah,
girl.
Bitch, I've been done depressed and anxious since I was fucking 4.
The Cure,
like,
is the soundtrack of my life.
Yeah, bitch. Like, I'm listening to Bauhaus in the dark since I was 10. What are you going to tell me? What do I know? I have been.
Yeah, prepartum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm anxious and depressed most of the time, especially because with Ellis, I was dealing with my mother's death. So how much of that was grieving?
Sure.
How much of that
even,
was.
Yeah, God, you got so much going on.
Too much happening. So
Leaving, life coming in, and you're a mom.
Yeah.
Susan's wanting to watch your titties. I mean, you got a lot going on.
It was too, it was so much that I was like, is this postpartum or just the normal reaction to all the horror that's happening in my life? It was too much. So by the second one, my life was stable. We had a nice life. We got the house. We got the kids. We got the dogs. I was calm. I did Pilates through my second pregnancy. I was eating Mediterranean food, like eating, you know, it was chill. So I had a chance to observe my feelings and just chill. And then I was like, oh yeah, I'm fucking anxious. I'm depressed. Something's wrong with mommy. Pop the Lexapro, say goodbye to your problems. It was great.
Done.
I started, look at me, I'm wearing colors. I started wearing colors.
You look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not in black.
No, and I wore black for so many years. And I just think I was depressed for so many years, and I just didn't even know it.
Yeah, I remember after my father died, I wore black everything. Jeans, and I didn't know it either. I didn't I don't know what the fuck I was going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just knew. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, man, nobody checked up on us. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe they didn't know. I know I went through a lot of shit at 16 that adults, that my friend's parents had never experienced. So maybe they were people that didn't even know what to say or do. But yeah, man, you're right. When you're in the thick of it, sometimes you don't even know what's happening to you, why it changed, what's happening. So it's good that you can really be honest with yourself and get some help.
But that takes an extra layer. Like I was talking to my shrink about that. Like the ability to step outside of your emotions and observe them as an objective observer. It's real. That's a learned skill to be like, I'm feeling this. Oh, let me take a step back. Oh, I'm feeling this and this and that. And like looking at it, that's a skill.
That is a skill. And also, you know damn well, if your girlfriend came to you, you would give her the best advice. And then that same advice, you probably wouldn't even follow yourself, which is another fucking skill.
I know.
Like, why don't I do what the fuck I'm telling Susan to do? You know?
I know. Just love yourself. Well, I remember too, I had kind of reached out to one person. And I was like, I'm just so stressed out about, I'm just stressed out about Ellis. And she's like, well, you shouldn't be stressed out by your kids. You should enjoy your kids. And I was like, oh, maybe this person knows something I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't have friends that were like moms that I could reach out to. I was really isolated. And we were living out in Redondo. So we were physically isolated too at the time. And Tom was on the road. It was just like a lonely time. And it is for every new mom because you're just inside with this baby for 3 months.
Scared,
yeah.
Scared of everything.
And I didn't have somebody like a mom that could come over and be like, oh no, this is normal. Let me help you.
You just shake them real hard like this, right?
You know what's funny? They used to just put the babies outside. The baby needs fresh air, and you just put the carriage outside and let that baby sleep in the snow.
Whiskey on the, all of that shit. They used to do all that shit to kids. Kids are resilient. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Kids are resilient, but
I mean,
I didn't know you went through all that, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing that
stuff. And I want to share because a woman listening to this now, and also I do where my mom's at as a service to women because there's so much. I think the culture is still kind of bullshit about it, about motherhood, and it's complicated. It's sticky.
And it's also a long game, you know, just because you're a good parent for the first 5 years, you might be shit for the next 25.
You think
know what I
so?
Mean? No, not you, but I mean a person. Like,
I was like, I don't know.
People are like, I'm a good parent. Like, talk to me when your kid's 40. You know what I mean? Let's take the fucking, you know, you could be an all-star the first 3 years of your career. You might suck the rest of it. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you were.
Yeah.
Parenting is a long game. And the other thing that's tough, too, is the sacrifices that you make. And, you know, it doesn't pay dividends until sometimes they're a parent. You know, you might not get that back till you're 30 when they finally go, how the fuck did you do all that? You know what I mean? You are great. You did da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, yeah, finally, goddamn you. But my goal is to live long enough to hear that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be checking out or.
No, that's a weird thing that happens when you become a parent is I've always been very existential and very in tune with my mortality as a former goth. But now, even more so than ever, it's like, I want to be here. I want to have grandkids.
I never thought I'd say. I mean, I don't mind if my daughter has kids in her 20s.
I want to
be. I mean, I waited too long. You know what I mean?
Know.
I don't want to be a 90-year-old grandfather because I don't think I'm going to be around. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I kind of want
already
my kids
be,
well, to do
see,
that
I'm
too.
47 and she's about to be 6.
Oh.
So what, 12, 47? Yeah, I'm going to be 60 or something when she graduates. And people are like, oh, your grandfather came? I'm like, fuck yourself, you little motherfucker.
I know. Because it is a great journey. It's just, for me, it was really complicated and
it's
really
a rough start.
Sticky. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, I wish I just had an easier beginning to my journey of motherhood. But I didn't. And
but look at you now. I mean, you're radiant.
Now
look
I
at
like
you.
It.
You've got jewelry on. You're wearing brooches and
Lexapro,
shit. Look at you, girl. You look like you're walking on sunshine.
A brooch.
Right now.
I put a brooch
that
on there.
One of your moms?
No.
Susan got all the brooches. Give her the brooch collection. Come
she can
on.
Fuck a brooch. You can have the brooch. I gave her the lesser shit.
The
you
lesser
man, have a brooch.
Shit.
You fucking bitch.
Here's some tarnished bracelets.
A fucking Susan, man.
That's a crazy thing to ask. Can I watch?
No, no, no. Here's another story.
Oh, good.
You're going to die. My dad may not have been faithful to her. Isn't
to
that
Susan?
Weird? Yeah.
That's a, yeah
so man. It's time for Ellis to be baptized. He's about 6 months old. And I tell my dad like a month in advance, I'm like, we're going to baptize the kid at this time and day at this church. Be there. Mwah, I got to go to the Philippines that day. I'm like, what? Why are you going to the Philippines? I got a girlfriend, some nice girls I'm talking to. I'm like, okay, well, your grandson's baptism. Yeah. Like, I'm not rescheduling a baptism so you can get laid in the third world country. Like, what part of that? So he's upset. He's offended that I'm not rescheduling because of his...
He's offended?
Yeah. So he's upset about that. And then, and here's the best part. So he chooses to go to the Philippines over coming to
he did?
My.
Oh, he was coming. Just not to the baptism, you
not
know?
To baptism. So he chose to go to the Philippines rather than delay the trip by a week or so.
Or a day.
Or a day.
The baptism takes a couple hours.
But,
you get the red eye out.
But
to the
Ryan, changing tickets is expensive and. What's $50 when you can see your kids' baptism? So anyway, so he chooses not to show up, which I'm upset about. Let's be honest, that's pretty horrifying. My one living parent is now
took
kind
2 weeks to come back yeah. from vacation to help you clean your mom's place out, and now ducks out on the kid's baptism.
Right,
his grandson's baptism. Does he have any other grandkids?
No, he does. He does now. Yeah.
Well, now he does.
Back then,
that was his only grandson.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Aren't you his only child?
Yeah.
His only child has his only grandson,
yeah.
and he's going to the Philippines to get laid.
Yeah. So here's the best part. He's still with Susan and is not really telling her what's going on.
How do you just get out to the Philippines without telling somebody?
I have no... That's a master class he needs to teach.
He should teach that.
On, like, pimping.
Yeah,
just pimping, pimping. Because I don't know how this guy does it. He's done it for decades. So but he says to me, okay, I'm not coming to this baptism because I'm going to the Philippines, but Susan's going to come instead. And I go,
nuh-uh.
What? I go, no, she's not. The invitation is for you. And if you show up, you may bring a guest, whoever you want. I don't care. But the invitation is not to this person who won't be in my life in another month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very upset.
Susan got upset. Why does she want to be involved so badly? I don't even get your dad doesn't. Your father doesn't want to be involved.
I know,
but Susan's upset. Is this because of the bags? Or is this because I wanted to watch you breastfeed for the first time? You're like, why are you excluding me from the baptism of your child? Susan's unrealistic.
I mean, I couldn't. And again, she's a lovely person. I have nothing against her personally. But I'm like, you know, and how do I explain to her?
How relieved would you be if you said, hey, we don't have to go to that baptism? I'd be like, thank fuck.
I know.
God, man. But Susan wants to roll through, you know.
I know.
I want to show you my new bag.
Yeah. But I mean, again, like, and how do I explain to her? Because she's a fine, lovely lady. Like, how do I explain to you? Like, sweetie, you're not coming because you're one of many. Like,
yeah.
You can't really tell that to somebody. So I think she got offended, obviously, because she's not really tuned in to what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I convey that to my dad. And that is one of the breakdowns in he and my relationship was me putting up this boundary of like, no, your girlfriend can't come to my son's baptism.
He's like, wait, you tell me my girl, well, I'm over here fucking women in another country. You tell me my girlfriend's not good enough for you. So crazy.
So crazy.
That is so crazy.
So crazy.
Yeah.
You want to hear another one? I'll tell you one more.
Yeah,
and
then of course.
This is why, and
well, you tell it because
I know
have to get
I gotta
going.
Go soon. I know. So, Dr. Drew is always trying to get me to reconcile with my dad, but there are like so many stories, and I'm like, so my very first Mother's Day rolls around. Ellis is 6 months old, and my dad.
I just can't wait to hear.
Oh, it's fantastic! And Tom is on the road working, and it's my first Mother's Day. It's a Sunday, obviously. And my dad goes, I'm going to come over. And I'm thinking like, oh, wow, how special. Like it's going to be really special. It's the grandfather, my son and me. Like, great. Okay. So ding dong, who shows up? Of course, Susan.
Susan.
With him. And two drunk Irish lesbians that he befriended somewhere.
On the way?
I don't know. No.
Come on. Like at the Ralph's down the street?
I don't
know.
Come
on, you guys got to watch my daughter breastfeed. Come on. Susan goes first.
No, it was like they were friends or they met on some other trip or something. And I'm like, and they were all loaded. And it was like 11 a.m. on a Sunday. And here I am with my baby. And I'm like,
on your first Mother's Day ever.
Yeah.
Your husband's out of town working.
Yeah. And he brings over these drunk strangers in my living room. And I'm like, okay, bye. I just say, I'm like, I'll see you later. And I go upstairs with my son and I close the door and I just hang out with my kid. And I just let them fuck around. I'm like, this is so crazy.
Like, you're just up to letting them do whatever
down
there.
Yeah, see you later. I just ignore him because I'm like, this is insanity. And then they leave. And that was, you know, I invited some friends over and it was a better day. But I'm like, what? So people are like, why don't you talk to your dad?
Yeah,
he seems like a nice guy. I'm like, and he was. I think he really was. But I think my eyes have been opened on boundaries and stuff. Because I think in the past I would have been like, yeah, bring Susan to the baptism. It's fine. And then like secretly hate it.
Right.
Can't do that anymore because I have kids to protect now and I don't want them around drunk Irish people.
Yeah.
Strangers and madness that I went through. It's part of it is you protect.
Right. Exactly.
And guess what? You're not
going
to have
to
see it.
Try to break the cycle. We don't need to do this shit again.
Yeah. I lived it once.
Right.
Let's not
do
it again.
I'm good. I'll tell them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can listen to all my podcasts.
Or not.
Yeah. Right.
Never has to know.
Mom's got notes and notes in that journal over there about the shit I've done.
Yeah, anyway.
Well,
yeah.
You know I love you.
I love you, too.
You look awesome, and
thank
I'm so
you.
Glad to see you in colors.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Yeah, you look good.
You look great, too, and I like your long hair.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I hope you keep it, because you're
very
lucky.
I'm going to keep a little bit of it. Yeah. I don't want it to go as long as it was.
Looks great. You look great.
It's nice of you. I appreciate it. Trying to get through this like everybody else. Would you please promote whatever you'd like to promote?
I have no live dates because of the pandemic. Christina P. Online, where my mom's at, your mom's house. You know, whatever. My life. I don't know.
Great.
I love you.
I love you too.
My favorite.
Please go subscribe to my YouTube channel. There'll be a link right at the end of this episode. You can click on. There will also be a link in the written description, youtube.com/rsickler. And we'll talk to you all next week.